If you've ever flown on an airplane commercially, you can tell the difference between a person who is flying standby and a person who has a confirmed seat. If they are flying standby, more than likely they are pacing back and forth. More than likely, they keep getting up every few moments and going to the attendant at the desk saying, "Am I going to get on? Am I going to get on? Did you find me a seat? Did you find me a seat?" They keep looking at that screen and to see if their name is cleared to get on the flight. In contrast, the person who has a confirmed seat, they're probably checking Facebook. They're probably napping. They're probably eating donuts, going to the bathroom. They're probably shopping at one of those really high-priced little convenience stores around the corner. Very different in their approaches. Today, I want to talk to you about this thought. Knowing that you were saved. In my years of pastoring, so many people doubt their salvation. In my testimony, I was saved as a child. I remember very, very vividly as a 5, 6-year-old little boy walking the aisle. And I remember doing something at the altar. And that's all I remember. So when I got to be a teenager, literally every night I would pull the covers over my head for probably 2 years. And I would get saved all over again, just me and Jesus. "God, I don't want to go to hell. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive my brother of his sins too. But forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus, his death, his burial and resurrection. And I'm trusting you, Jesus, to get me to heaven." And I would do that literally every night for a couple of years until I heard somebody speak on the assurance of salvation. So today, I just want to talk to you about that. We come to 1 John. In 1 John, the word "know" is used 33 times. John is dogmatic. He is definite that you can know for certain you are on your way to heaven. Now, if you were to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 17, it says this: "They worship Jesus, but some doubted." And I just want to say, when it comes to salvation, you can be certain. You can be sure. You say, "Pastor, tell me how." Three truths to give you assurance of salvation. Sermon I'm entitling, "I'm Saved, and I Know That I Am." I didn't ask him to sing that song, but you all know it. "I'm Saved, and I Know That I Am." And I pray by the end of this sermon, you can say that as well. Number one, how do we do it? How do we know for sure we're going to heaven? Number one, the work of the Savior. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" The word "believe" or "believeth" is a trust, a commitment in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. He is the one that overcomes the world. We're going to come back to that. But look at verse 6, and let me explain verse 6, and then we'll come back to verse 5. "This is he that came by water and blood," even Jesus Christ. "Not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So you say, what's that water and blood talking about? External witnesses. The water refers to Jesus' baptism, the start of his earthly ministry, his mission, portraying the death, burial, and resurrection that he would do. The blood refers to his death, the end of his earthly ministry, where he shed his own blood for our sins. So all of the sins of the world were placed on Jesus. So they were external witnesses, the beginning of his ministry and the end of his ministry. Do you remember the tabernacle in the Old Testament? When you entered into the gate, the first piece of furniture that you would come to, you remember what it was? It was the brazen altar. The altar on which the animal sacrifice was made, where you would wash, the altar on which the animal sacrifice was made to symbolize that you cannot come before God with sin. So an animal was made to deal with your sin. You had to have the blood of a spotless lamb on your account. That was the first piece of furniture you came to. You remember what the second one was? The laver. It was a great big basin where you would wash before entering into the Holy of Holies. At one place, the blood was poured out. The other place, the water was poured out. The blood was for cleansing of sin immediately. The laver was for the continual cleansing of sin, where the priest would wash his hands from the sacrifice. Now think about it. The blood refers to salvation. The water refers to sanctification. Both of them come through Christ. Listen. Remember the old song, and I'm going to get back to verse 5. Remember the old song. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Talking about Jesus. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, safe from wrath. That's the altar. And make me pure. That's the laver. You say, preacher, you're going around the world. What are you talking about? Look back at verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world? It's the work of Christ. It's his earthly ministry at the beginning, where he was baptized, showing his death, burial, and resurrection. And it was his conclusion, where his blood was offered on the cross. How he overcame the world. Look. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So how do you get out of this world and make it to heaven? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a trust. It's a commitment. Now look what it says. It's not past tense. It's not that you believed when you were 5 years old. It's not that you believed at youth camp when you were a teenager. It's that you believe now. Maybe you're having doubts. Ask yourself this question. If you were to go stand before God right now, and he were to say, why should I let you into heaven? What are you going to say? The only correct answer is the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, not just for the sin of the world. He died for my sin in my place, and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my substitute for my sin. I'm believed at one point, but I am believing in him. What's this? Overcome the world but he that believeth, or that's the King James, is believing that Jesus is the Son of God. One of the ways you know that you're a Christian is you believe in the work of the Savior. How do you know? Because you believe in Jesus. One of the things I never want to do, Tracy and I have actually done it before. I don't want to go mountain climbing. You know these crazy Mount Everest mountain climbers? Don't want to do it. No interest in doing it. I am told that these mountain climbers, they're scaling these humongous peaks, that what they do, they put anchors and they bolt these anchors into the rocks so that when the wind is blowing, when that the storms roll up, and maybe even a snowstorm or a rainstorm, or the wind is knocking them around, or maybe their hands grow sweaty and they fall, their anchor holds. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. I'm not going there. But look. There is no important question in the world than your eternal destiny. What is the anchor that holds you for all of eternity? This verse says the only one that there is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your perfect substitute. Number one, the work of the Savior. Number two, how can I know for sure I'm going to heaven? Number two, the witness of the Spirit. Look at the last part of verse 6. And is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. A witness is useless unless it is reliable. John tells us that the Holy Spirit is truth. So the ultimate issue at stake between every religion out there, doesn't matter if it's Jesus, doesn't matter if it's Muhammad, doesn't matter if it's Joseph Smith, it doesn't matter if it's Buddha. What matters is who's telling the truth. The Holy Spirit testifies and witnesses that Jesus is true. You cannot know, now listen to this, you cannot know eternal spiritual truth apart from the Holy Spirit. You can know 2 + 2 = 4, but you cannot know Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? It's freeing. You will never be saved apart from the Holy Spirit drawing you. It's what Scripture says. We say, wait, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. No man's going to get saved on his own unless the Holy Spirit draws him. Look at verse 7. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So there is a heavenly witness. And then verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit and the water and the blood. We already looked at the water and the blood. So there's earthly witnesses, and these three agree in one. So what does that mean? The Holy Spirit takes what Jesus did on the cross, and he testifies to you and he testifies to me. If the Holy Spirit of God, it is the Holy Spirit of God that says, when the Sunday school teacher is teaching or when the preacher is preaching, that's true, you need to listen. You're in 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. So what is the witness of men? About 45 minutes, you're going to go to the restaurant, you're going to buy a meal. How do you know it's not poison? Because you're going to trust that those golden arches are going to feed you something safe. Or you're going to trust that name. It says Golden Corral, or it says whatever it says. You're trusting the witness of men that you can eat it. You go, you get on an airplane. How do you know that the person in the cockpit can get you from Raleigh to Alaska? You're trusting the witness of men that that name, United or Delta or American, they're going to fulfill their word. Good luck. You go to get it closer to home. You go to the pharmacist to get a word to fix your problem that you don't know if it's going to fix your problem. The pharmacist puts that pill in that bottle, and you trust that pharmacist put the right pill in the bottle to fix your problem. How do you know it's going to work? You're trusting the witness of men. Now look what the verse says. For the witness of God is greater. Listen, I believe George Washington was the first president of the United States. Wasn't here. I didn't know old George. Some people think I'm old. I'm not that old. But I have the witness of men. That's how I know George Washington was the first president. I believe Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, how do you know that? Because I have the witness of God. And the witness of God is far greater and far better than even the witness of men. Now, I have the witness of men with Jesus, but I have the witness of God. Matthew 16, verse 15. Remember, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says unto them, whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. This witness is not a witness of men, but is a witness of God, which is far better. So, say, preacher, where are you going with this? Look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. There's two points. You cannot get saved without the Holy Spirit drawing you and the Holy Spirit telling you, you're lost. You are going to hell and you better repent of your sin and you need to come to Jesus. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in. That's what this verse is saying. Look at it again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So he comes to live within you. And he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. So he stops witnessing to us at salvation, and he begins witnessing in us. He moves on the inside, so God's Spirit takes up residence in us. So how do I know that I'm saved? Because I am believing the work of Jesus on the cross. How do I know I'm saved? Because I got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. That's how I know I'm saved. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, how does it do that? I know y'all think I'm perfect, but sometimes Tracy and I don't always get along.
And I might say something a little bit curt or a little bit sharp or a little bit not so sweet. And the Holy Spirit just convicts me. You need to go apologize. And sometimes I'm fast at responding and sometimes I'm not so fast at responding. Just shows that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. If there is no conviction for any sin that you ever do, it's just something you need to question. Are you saved? Either you have so hardened yourself to the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside you. That's one of the ways. It's because the Holy Spirit, it lives inside of you. You know this. When you gotta go to certain situations, they require you to get a notary. And you go before the notary, and they've gone through, and they've gotten done all of the background checks, and they put their little stamp. You sign it in front of them, they date it, and then they put their little stamp of approval, certification, testify that you are legit and you did appear and you are real and you're not some fake and phony person, and they stamp it. This is what it says. When you are a true believer, you got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And he says, hey, he talks with you and he directs you in what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And if you do what you shouldn't do, he's telling you, And if there's no alarm going off when you're doing what's wrong, you should be questioning. So number two, the witness of the Spirit. Let me give you the third one. I'll be done. How can we know for sure we're going to heaven? Work of the Savior. Witness of the Spirit. Number three, the Word of the Son. How can we know we're going to heaven? Look at verse 10. He that believes on the Son hath the witness in himself, but he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not. Notice those next two words. The record that God gave of his Son. So if you do what God says, God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Scripture says, you will be saved. And you doubt that after you've done it. Saying, God, I don't know if you keep your word. You're calling God a liar. What you're saying is, God, I don't know if this book can really be trusted. The basis of knowing that you are saved, this book, plain and simple, this book tells you you're saved. Look at verse 11. And this is the record. If you write in your Bible, circle that word record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The record. The Bible very literally is our birth certificate. Now look, I was born 53 years ago. Moore Regional Hospital in Pinehurst. Don't remember a thing about it. February 7th, 1972. It was a great day. I don't remember if the doctor spanked me on the behind. I don't remember if they poked me and got my blood. But I think I was born. You say, how do you know? I got a birth certificate. It tells me I was born. You say, how do you know you were saved? Bible is my birth certificate. And I was born because I did what this book says to do. And when I did what this book says to do, I was born into the family of God. Woo! And I became a child of the living God. And this is the record. This is the legal document that I can stand upon. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you. The reasons I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things, what he just said, Scripture and the Bible, the final basis of the assurance of your salvation, you got God's word on it. If you came to the point where the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin, that you were lost, you were a sinner, you were destined to hell, and Jesus was the perfect Son of God that came and died on an old rugged cross, not just for the sin of the world, but for your sin. And you said, Jesus, I repent of my sin, and I believe that you died on the cross for me in my place, and I'm going to accept your payment for my sin, and I'm going to follow you to the day I die. If you did that, this book says you are eternally saved. Amen. Let me close like this. Remember the Old Testament Passover. God said to the Hebrew people in Egypt, that they had already gone through all of the plagues. Comes now time for the last plague. I'm going to send the death angel, and it's going to touch the firstborn of your household, and the firstborn of your livestock, firstborn of your children, your male children, are going to die. But I'm going to give you a way of escape. If you'll get the blood of a spotless lamb, and you'll put it on the doorpost, when the death angel comes through, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Imagine this one little Hebrew boy goes to his daddy. Hey, daddy, I heard what Moses said. Let's go find us the blood of a spotless lamb. Because we don't want, I'm the oldest. We don't want that death angel stopping at our house. So he goes with his daddy. They check from head to toe a couple of times, make sure the lamb has no spot, no blemish. The little fella, he goes home with his daddy, and they kill that lamb that's the substitute. He helps his daddy, and they put the blood on the doorpost. He says, Daddy, do it one more time. And he does it again. But this little boy, he's a nervous wreck. He's just pacing. He's chewing his fingernails. He doesn't sleep that whole night. Finally, wakes up the next morning. He had the blood applied. He wakes up. Another Hebrew boy. He heard what Moses said. He says, Daddy, we need to go find a spotless lamb, like Moses told us to. They go down there and checks over the lamb and checks him again, head to toe, and it's a spotless lamb. They go and they kill the lamb, and they put the blood on the doorpost. He said, Dad, let's make sure. He said, this is my life on the line. He said, that's our bull on the line. Let's put it on there another time. And this guy, he's pretty content with it. Goes in and he's just trusting the word. Moses, word of God. The dad, he's a little bit nervous. About 7:30, the little fella says, Hey, Dad, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to go tuck in. I'll see y'all in the morning. Dad says, all right, night. He gives him an extra long hug and kissed. He's a little bit nervous. I hope God's going to keep his word. And sends him to bed. About 11:30, I can see that dad going into that room. Just checking him. I can see that little boy looking up at his dad, wiping the sleep out of his eye, out of his eyes. Hey, buddy, you all right? Am I all right? It's 11:30. Are you all right? Well, what's wrong? I'm just making sure you're all right. Dad, God said to get a spotless lamb. Was our lamb spotless? Yeah. God said put it on the doorpost. Did we put it on the doorpost? Yeah. Dad, God cannot lie. Yeah, I'm all right, other than I'm sleepy. I'll see you in the morning. He wakes up in the morning just fine. Which of the two boys were safest? Hold on a second. They both were safe. They both had the blood applied. Which of the two boys were sure about their safety? The second one. Because he was resting in the Word of God. See, friend, it's not a matter of whether you're going to go to heaven or not. If you've trusted in the work of Christ, you're going to heaven. But you're just like me when I was 12 years old. You're pulling the covers up over your head every night. Jesus, will you save me again? Because I don't want to go to hell. And you're living your life in torment. And I'm saying, wait a minute. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. You've done what he said to do. You've done it. Go to bed. I'll see you in the morning. Amen.